come in here," he said, stepping behind a display panel where an unframed door was barely visible in the white wall. He guided her inside swiftly and shut the door behind them. It was a storage closet, small, one bare bulb raining light down on shelves full of paint and tools. They stood face to face, just inches apart. His scent filled the room, that Swedish cologne, and beneath it was a smell she remembered, something medicinal and tinged with adrenaline. The little room was hot, and she felt suddenly dizzy, silverfish flashing in her vision.
"Caroline," he said, "good God, do you live here in Pittsburgh? Why wouldn't you tell me where you were?"
"I wasn't hard to find. Other people found me," she said slowly, remembering Al walking up the alley, understanding for the first time the depth of his persistence. For if it was true that David Henry had not looked very hard, it was also true that she had wanted to be lost. Outside the door there were footsteps drawing near and then pausing, the rush and murmur of voices. She studied his face. All these years she'd thought about him every single day, and yet now she couldn't imagine what to say.
"Shouldn't he be out there?" she asked, glancing at the door. "They'll wait."
They looked at each other then, not speaking. Caroline had held him in her mind all this time like a photograph, 100 or 1,000 photographs. In each of these, David Henry was a young man full of a restless, determined energy. Now, staring at his dark eyes and fleshy cheeks, his hair so carefully styled, she realized that if she had passed him on the street, she might not have known him after all. When he spoke again, his tone had softened, though a muscle still worked in his face.
"I went to your apartment, Caroline, that day after the memorial service. I went there, but you were already gone." "All this time," he began, and then he fell silent.
There was a light tap on the door, a muffled, questioning voice.
"Give me a minute," David called back.
"I was in love with you," Caroline said in a rush, astonished at her confession, for it was the first time she had ever voiced this, even to herself, though it was knowledge she had lived with for years. The admission made her feel lightheaded, reckless, and she went on. "You know, I spent all sorts of time imagining a life with you, and it was in that moment by the church when I realized I hadn't crossed your mind at all, not really." He'd bent his head as she spoke, and now he looked up.
"I knew," he said. "I knew you were in love with me. How could I have asked you to help me otherwise? I'm sorry, Caroline. For years now, I have been so sorry."
She nodded, tears in her eyes, that younger version of herself still alive, still standing by the edge of the memorial service, unacknowledged, invisible.